The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, and I hope you won't mind. I'm going to switch a little bit out of sermon mode and into teacher mode today. I'm going to talk about what we need to do as believers, as a church, as when it comes to looking into the Word, knowing the Word, studying the Word, teaching the Word. All those things are going to come out of this passage, and we're going to just look at some practical applications for this church and for you and your own family. What happens is, in this passage, in Luke 24, it's the first day of the week. We know the first day of the week would have been Sunday. Sunday when, of the resurrection, Jesus has risen. The ladies have gone to the tomb, and Mary has had a conversation with him there, and Jesus has moved on, and he's on the road to Emmaus. He appears to the two people on the road to Emmaus. Some scholars think that it's Cleopas and his wife are walking home. Some think it's two other disciples that are traveling together. It doesn't matter, because what happens is, on the road to Emmaus, on their way home, this 2 to 3 hour walk, they encounter Jesus. And when they encounter Jesus, they have some things happen that is necessary for them to understand all the events of the day, all that's going on. People don't always understand everything that's going on around them. Some are just good at figuring out what's happening, and some are not. We had this problem with our last house. We bought a house on a hill in a neighborhood that was known for being very hilly in a flat part of the country. And big, tall pine trees. And by the way, when you've got really big, tall pine trees everywhere, that is a tornado and wind magnet. They love to come through those neighborhoods. So we had lots of downed trees when we lived in that area. But we lived at the bottom of the hill on a creek. The creek went through our backyard, basically. And we bought the house. We knew it needed a lot of work, needed a whole lot of work, both inside and out. But particularly in the front yard. The front yard was just barren and not taken care of. And all the bushes were really old and stemmy and not been trimmed back. So we went to work on that yard and tried to get it looking a little bit better. There was a big pit in the middle of the yard. And I say a pit, I'm exaggerating. It was a drop from the top of it to the bottom of it of about a foot. It was the size of the base of a great big tree that had fallen. And they had just thrown some sod on top of it, and you had a dip right out there. Had to work on that. It wasn't until the first rain we figured out what was happening. Rain would come off the top of the hill, with those houses on the hill, and it would make its way down the paved road and jump the curb about 10 feet from our property line in our neighbor's yard, and it would whoosh past the front door and never less than 6 inches deep. On a big rain, water would flow right past our front yard, across our driveway, and take a waterfall off the driveway, and it was producing a little eddy there of some kind, and it just dug a hole out, a deep hole. I thought that was another tree that had been taken out that didn't take care of. So when I bought that property, the first thing I did was get some dirt, and I filled that hole up. Filled the hole up, made it look nice, and just dressed it up. It looked real pretty. I didn't even take the time to put grass on it. So left it there, and you know what happened? It rained again. And when it rained, there was a big red streak down the side of the house to the creek. All of it washed out, washed down the creek. I thought, I can fix that. I'll throw some grass seeds on that. So I threw some grass seeds on that, and it grew up, and it looked really good. The next rain came down the hill, and it washed right across there and dug the hole out again. It happened over and over and over, all the way up till a month before we decided to sell the house. I thought, well, I've got to I can't sell this house with this problem over here. I got to figure it out. So I just asked somebody, what would you do to fix that? And they said, you're not ever going to fix that problem with water coming off of there, because it's coming from property that's not yours. It's coming down a hill. So you need to do something that's more substantial there. Put some concrete there or some bricks or something. So I decided to, before we got to that far, part of the front yard looked like a riverbed, because I put all rocks out, made a zero escape area. I came across that, went across the driveway, and I built a concrete chute. down the side of the hill. It's in the driveway, didn't look great the first time I built it, and I thought I need to dress it up a little bit better to sell this house. So I fixed it up, put bricks on it, it looked pretty, and the next rain came. The next rain came and came down that hill, went across the driveway, hit that little chute, and guess what it did? It shot, water went straight down the chute, and turned the corner, and went off to the creek and didn't wash out. Needed a foundation. Needed something more substantial. Needed something that could withstand all the deluge of water that came through there. That's what we're looking at today in Scripture, is that we need the foundation of the Word in our life so we're not tossed to and fro by the opinions of the day. You know what we have more of than we have ever had in the history of mankind today? We have more public opinions that are not very well thought out, that are openly and aggressively shared. Y'all believe that's true? Just follow one post that has a bunch of comments on it on any social media. But just say we pick Facebook because everybody's familiar with that. So we have a Facebook post about some opinion. It could be about a restaurant. It could be about Bucky's gas station. It could be about a burger. It could be about something serious like should Christians drink or not drink. It could be something like, it could be anything you want to post. Somebody's going to say something about it. And they're going to be quick to say it. And they're going to have an opinion that's based on emotions, based on feelings. Not necessarily with any kind of substantial foundation of thought to that opinion. Sometimes they're well thought out. Most of the times they're not. We have Bible studies that are run the same way, where people will get up and they'll share the word and begin to teach a Bible study, and you have a group in a room, and in that group in the room, there are some that never say a word because they're afraid to say anything. They don't want to be wrong. And you have some that have a lot to say, and they know what they're saying, and it's right because they've studied the Word. Then you have some that are just feeling something today, and they want to say what they're feeling. They want to interpret the Word according to what their feelings are. The world is built on this foundation of truth. There's things that aren't true, things that are true. Things of the Lord that He has taught us that are clear in Scripture are true, then we can trust them. We can lay our lives on that foundation and have build great lives upon it. People that don't do that, they suffer in life. They suffer by not knowing which direction to go. They suffer in doubt. They suffer in all the consequences of bad decisions. So here we have Jesus encountering some people that have heard the Word. They've heard the Word, but they don't understand the Word. They don't understand fully what is happening. They're walking away from Jerusalem on the day of the resurrection of Christ, the most important day of history. They've had all this happen in front of them. They've witnessed things. They've been talking about it and sharing about it, and they still don't understand. Starting with chapter 24, verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. They didn't fully see Jesus because Jesus was there in that transformed body. He was resurrected body, and he had been through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and also the Lord was just blinding their eyes for a moment so they could hear the words out of his mouth. They were kept from recognizing him. In verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" So speaking to the Lord who experienced all these things, he obviously didn't know who he was. He says, "Do you not know what happened?" "What things?" he asked. Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? In the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said and all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him to strongly stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over, so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Those disciples had been revelated. They had been lifted up. They had been encouraged. They had been able to see the story that all of Scripture from the beginning of time down to that moment in time had been revealed, and the culmination of all the plan of God had happened right in front of them in Jerusalem. They had seen the Savior crucified, dead, buried, and then he was raised again. They were able to see that. See Jesus himself. Scripture gives us the opportunity to know God well, to know him better. As we study the Word, as we spend time in the Word, he reveals his character to us, his plan to us, all he wants to know about himself through the Word. And we make a mistake, those that are studying the Word, and this may be more the seminar part of the sermon this morning, is people make the mistake of looking at scriptures on a very limited basis, on maybe the slogan or t-shirt approach to a passage. I find one verse, it sounds good, it's poetic, it resonates in my soul. I don't fully understand what is all being said about that, but I like it, so I'm going to lift that verse up in my life, maybe put it on a plaque, put it on the wall, put it on a t-shirt and wear it around town. Maybe I'm going to memorize it, and I have an understanding of that slice of the story that God has given us from the Word. But when you decide to study, the Word, you need to look at that section of Scripture in the larger context, in a larger perspective. So this is my goal, what I'd like to see happen before I leave this church. You have a full-time pastor. I tried to pick a big lofty number in my head coming up approach to this morning, but let's just say 5. Instead of 10, 15, 20. If 5 families decided to have a weekly Bible study in their house, and not just invite everybody in the church at all, we would like for everybody to go to a Bible study. You go to get that good on Sunday morning because you're getting great Bible study Sunday mornings in Sunday school. You're going to get that through the message and through Wednesday night. But let's say 5 families decide we're going to invite people we know that are not a part of First Baptist Church of Manning. Matter of fact, they may not be a part of any church, but they would come to our house every week, or maybe you make it every other week, or whatever you decide to do. And you meet and you look at the Word and you teach the Word. You have a time of fellowship. You pray for each other. Maybe you have a little bit of food and then you go off. I know what the hesitations are about that is we just don't have enough time to do that. People don't have the time to do that. Lots of things have filled up our life to cause us not to have time. Well, first of all, we have the ability to go anywhere we want to most of the time. And we have all kinds of entertainment right in front of us that fills our life all the time. And we not only have that, we manufacture more things that we could be doing that could occupy our time. But let's not be concerned about other people's time when the Holy Spirit is at work. You have a Bible study. 5 families decide to have the Bible study, or 5 couples, or 5 maybe individuals, and they are going to invite people. You invite 15 couples or 15 people you know or people from work, and let's say three of them show up. That's success, by the way. That's a good thing. Three people show up, you're there having your Bible study, you look at your Word, and when you're teaching the Word, you're opening up the Scripture so that the Holy Spirit, so this Jesus that they encountered on the way, road to Emmaus, can speak to the hearts of people amidst others who believe. It's a good thing to do. So you have that fellowship, you're getting the Word in their life, you get the Word in your life, and you're studying it, and you as a teacher are going to learn that the more you read, the more you study, the better prepared you're going to be to teach a particular passage. I can teach from Luke chapter 24 because of 35 years of reading and studying Luke 24. Someone could have told me this morning, I want you to get up and do a sermon on this. It may not have been polished, but there would have been one because of 35 years of looking at the Word. So as a teacher, the more you study, the more prepared you're going to be. If you think you don't have the ability to do that, I want to tell you, because you are saved and you own a Bible, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you can think and speak and talk to other people, you are ready to get started to teach Bible study. You're ready. You may not know everything, but you're capable. Thursday, I dropped a tractor off at a place to get the hydraulic lift was leaking. One of my cylinders was leaking really bad. It's something I probably could fix if I decided I wanted to fix it, but it would take me 10 hours when it would take somebody else an hour. Because I'd have to go watch the YouTube, I'd have to do it, mess it up, go back some more, buy some more seals because I messed the first ones up and start over. That would be my experience with it. So I just know about that much about how to do something. I talked to a boy about 24 years old that talked to me as if I knew something. He was nice. You know, he actually was not condescending. Had a conversation, and he said, oh, yeah, we can do this. This is how we're going to take care of it. We'll be done in an hour to hour and a half maximum. You can come back and pick it up today if you want to. I've never experienced anything like that. It was so quick and easy, and he was so knowledgeable. And in those 24 short years of his life, he had gained the knowledge to be able to confidently and proficiently tell me everything I needed to know about a hydraulic cylinder. That's pretty impressive. I don't have any education in that. None. Just accidental experience. If he can know that, he can learn the Word. If he can get that technical and know that complicated of a topic, he can read Scripture and break open a book, or you don't even have to break open a book anymore, open up a YouTube video and watch a commentary on a passage of Scripture, and you can get somebody that's trustworthy, that handles the Word correctly, and as he teaches or she teaches, and you can learn from them, and when you go to lead a Bible study, you can be as prepared as most anybody you've ever met that teaches a Bible study. You can get prepared. So if you don't think you're capable and have enough knowledge, you can get the knowledge. You can get the knowledge. Maybe you think you're shy and you stutter and you're not able to do things smoothly as other people do things. The Lord overcomes that. I probably told you before, when I get real tired, I stutter. When I get real stressed out and anxious, I lose my voice. If some week I'm up here preaching and you can't hear my voice, it's been a hard week. Just so you know, a lot of stress. Lose my voice almost every time. Doesn't matter. It's not me that matters. It's the Lord speaking through me to people. So when the Word is opened up, your heart will burn within you because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and not the pastor, the preacher, the Bible study teacher, the Sunday school teacher, the youth leader. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. We want to be people that look at the Word and build our lives on the foundation of truth in Jesus. I want to tell you, don't trust human reasoning. Don't trust human opinions. There are people that will come to a Bible study that are full of opinions but without knowledge. They don't have the ability to take all the context of Scripture, what God was trying to teach. They just want to tell you what they feel about that thing as it applies to their life today. And sometimes what they want to tell you is just how they feel about anything when it doesn't necessarily relate to the Bible study at all. There are people like that. Not everyone who says something confidently is correct. We all know that's true, right? You can get that pretty quick. All you got to do is watch any news panel that's a debating panel or any talk show where everyone is allowed to express their opinions. One side of the room can be confident while the other side is angry about it, but equally confident on their opinion, which is the opposite of that other opinion. Where the world exists right now, people's opinions have been inflated by earnest and energy rather than by knowledge and validity. Does that make sense? If I speak to you something with enough confidence, then I must be right, the way people act now. Romans 12:2 says that we should have minds that are conformed, that are formed by the Lord. Do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewed in Christ. Let's look at Proverbs 3, and you'll know this passage very well. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto, what? Your own understanding. Your own understanding. Your understanding, if it's not based in biblical truth, very likely it's based in some emotion or some experience that you interpreted with that emotion. Don't trust in this mind unless this mind has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Scripture gives us a validity of truth. You know that 2 Timothy 3:16 is one of those memory verses. It says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. So we're studying this word that equips us to be able to teach and also to live. This wisdom we have comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. Colossians 1:9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's praying that the Colossians would be wise, not in the ways of the world, wise in Scripture. Wise in ways of understanding the Lord, knowing the Lord. James tells us if we lack wisdom, and I think all of us could say at some point in our life, we have lacked some wisdom. We've lacked the ability to give something clear correctly. If you lack any wisdom, ask God, and He'll give you generously without reproach. The Lord will tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. Let's turn for a second to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I read James chapter 3, and it's almost like a cartoon to me. I mean it this way. Is when I read this, it comes alive. It comes alive and sort of, I can see people's faces. And when it says something about somebody being a wise teacher, I can see a particular person sometimes. They pop in my head. That was a wise teacher that knew the word. Or someone that's arrogant and bold without knowledge, I got a bunch of those that pop up. That's like a little choir of people that pops up. People that say what they think without thinking about what they say. There's a bunch of those. Chapter 3, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. That passage should make a teacher shudder a little bit. Not all of us are capable of being teachers, and it's not because of our lack of knowledge, it's because our humility may not match our level of knowledge. Our ability to teach may not match our level of understanding of what the whole big picture. Verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs it. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. We know that what people say affects people. It affects people. What I teach here on Sunday morning, it matters because it's on behalf of Jesus. If it was just my opinion, I was teaching you something about something else, it wouldn't matter. This matters. So I got to be careful with what words are said and how they're said. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the world of a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, standing the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell, for by every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed as it has been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Whew, that's a hard word, isn't it? That's hard for me to read. This tongue in your mouth can sing praises and sing songs and speak and teach Bible studies, and it says harsh, cruel, hateful things about other people, people of the Lord. I saw a meme this morning of the four worst trash talkers in women's basketball. And you know what it was. It was another attack on LSU. So you had these four pictures, and every one of them had a quote underneath that name. And it said about them, this girl called me this. Oh, and this girl, it was people from all over the country that were being profiled. This girl says this all the time. This girl never stops talking. This one says this. Those tongues have branded them. They're branded by the words from their mouth. Just like us. Just like us. Can't be a part of this. Go to Burger King and treat somebody harshly. Got to be a person that is right with the Lord, both out of here and in here. Verse 11. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Now he's kind of laying the foundation there of what he's about to say about a wise teacher. Verse 13, who's wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Because of the world I work in every day and the number of churches I'm around, I'm able to see this happen, but there is a rash of celebrity-type preachers that rise up from among the ranks of a church body that want to stand on stage and teach because they want to be on stage and teach. They want to be lifted up. They want the attention. They want people to revere them and tell them that they're smart, and they want to see emotional reactions in the crowd. They want to do things that give them a feedback that makes them feel good about themselves. And sometimes that's the only reason, and sometimes it's mixed with godly reasons. That they want to be Bible study teachers, but they're not matured to the point where they can stand up, teach a word, and say, this was not from me, it's from the Lord, and mean it. They both want to do right, and they want attention at the same time. And then there's plenty that can just open up a Bible on a Sunday morning in a Sunday school class and teach the word and not have to get any attention for it. Don't need any accolades. Don't need to brag about it. Don't need to say how great they were. They just love the Lord, love the word, love to disciple people. There's all kinds. There's all kinds. This word is warning us against those that want to be celebrity. They want to have a crowd. We had the outbreak of giant college ministry worship services happened right before I graduated from seminary. And we would have typical college Bible study would have 100, 200 show up. And it'd be good. That's some kind of successful, 100 or 200. And all of a sudden in Waco, they had 5,000 showing up. And it was a big old group of people. They'd come every week. Teacher would teach. And you know what happened when that happened? Is everybody wanted to be the guy that was leading the Bible study in Waco with 5,000 people showing up. We all wanted this level of success to come in. And I always wondered, Lord, why did you never give me that level? And, you know, when I was at Florida State, we had a giant crowd all the time. It was a big old place, lots of students. It was bigger than, I want to say, 800 Southern Baptist churches in Louisiana. It was in the top third of that size, sure, on Wednesdays. And the Lord said to me very clearly one time, it's because you couldn't handle it. If you had 5,000 people, your head would be even bigger. Verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes from down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Or where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle, and then open to reason. Ooh, I like that. There's lots of folks that are fully convinced about their opinions that are not open to reason. Matter of fact, they want to punish you with their opinions. You don't believe me? You're going to get punished because of that. They're going to ostracize you. People who love the Lord and have that wisdom first, the wisdom for the Lord first, they're full of mercy and good fruits. They're impartial. They're sincere. This is what happens when someone like that leads a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So when someone humbly teaches the word, someone starts leading a Bible study on a Monday night at your house, 10 people show up, and you're just humbly serving the Lord, enjoying that time together with those people, and they're growing, and they're telling other people, before you know it, 25 people are showing up, and you've got this level of godliness about the group that's attractive to other people, and everybody wants to be a part of it. Before you know, you have to split it and make it into two groups. Those are people who are sowing righteousness and peace. We had a student like that in Arkansas. He was a freshman. He started Bible study in his dorm with nobody telling him to. I didn't have to ask him to. He just did it. His roommate was kind of a follower, and he was the leader, and then they both turned into good leaders, and they both were inviting their friends, and in this dorm room, and they were in the very first, scandalous, by the way, very first co-ed dorm in the history of this campus. So you had girls in an apartment, guys in an apartment, all mixed in on this, every floor it was that way, and it was a scandal in the community. Secular. He opened that Bible study up on a Monday night, and people started coming in. And before long, it grew so big, there was not enough places to sit in the dorm. So they started building furniture, and they built every piece of their furniture two-story. And they lifted it up so that a group could sit on the first floor, and a group could get on the bunk beds on this second level. Couch on a second level, all this on a second level. He was just piling the people. Instead of going to get a new room, he was just excited about being in that room. But I want to tell you, out of that group in that Bible study came the strongest leaders in our ministry for the next 5 years. It was a harvest of righteousness because of humility. All the way back to Luke 24. Verse 32, they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us. 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found 11, those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I imagine Cleopas and his buddy lived the rest of their life telling that story to anybody that would listen. Anybody. Every day. Let me tell you what happened to me on the day of the resurrection. We were walking on the way to Emmaus. It was a short 7-mile walk. Right in the middle of it, in comes Jesus. We encounter Jesus. He starts teaching us from the beginning of the time, all the way back to Adam, all the way through the Old Testament, teaches us up to the point of last Friday when he was crucified. And then he revealed to us himself resurrected. We saw Jesus. If you've been saved, you had that encounter. You have the encounter where you have seen Jesus. And he has spoken to your heart, and your heart has burned within you. Tell folks every day. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be feel like you're not worthy. Don't tell folks. And right now, there's somebody convicted. I know there is. There will be someone. There will be more later on as time goes. And one of those five groups may be birthed today out of this crowd. If the Lord is telling you to start a Bible study in your home or at McDonald's or maybe here in this room on Thursdays or wherever it might be, we'll figure out the logistics later. The Lord is leading you to do this. Be obedient and say, "Yes, I will lead. I'll lead." And there will be a fruit of righteousness because of that. You'll see God's hand. Let's pray. Fathers, we are on the road today. May we encounter you. Fathers, we hear your word. May our hearts burn within us and we be encouraged and strengthened because of it. And Father, I pray that there's a harvest of righteousness and that there not be enough chairs in this room because of all the people that have heard from your word. Well, that your movement of the Spirit would be powerful. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.